Okay. So this is my it's my first time being at a Tu B'Shvat Seder. That's the truth. Yeah. It's actually also my first time ever being at any B'nai Akiva event ever. So I get invited to a lot of things. I'm very popular. It's just I happen to choose not to go usually. You guys realize that, right? But it's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here. And I guess the main point of me being here is to try to contextualize, to give background to, I don't know, give a little bit of meaning or purpose or drive or, I don't know, a little inspiration, just a package in terms of what the goal of what we're doing here is and what the avoda, what the whole purpose of why we're gathered together today on this day, and specifically for the reason that you're gathered here, which is to support a cause that is supporting Kadosh Baruch Hu's chosen land in Eretz Yisrael, and what we're doing all the way from here. I used to be closer, now much farther, all the way from here in Los Angeles to support that country through the Torah and mitzvahs that we're trying to keep all the way here in the Galus. So the truth is, if you think about Tu B'Shvat, it's only a holiday, it's only a yontif, although I just heard about 150 brachas on, how many brachas are you supposed to make on the wine? Every cup you make another one. I don't know. Okay, I'm not here as a post, like, I don't know what that's about, but 100 brachas on wine and the spread of fruit and meat, amazing. That's the way we identify with Tu B'Shvat, because that's what we do. But if you look in the halacha, if you look in, for sure, the Torah, but after the Torah, even in Chazal, you really don't find mention of this Yomtiv, of this holiday of Tu B'Shvat. The only time you really find any mention at all halachically in terms of an entity as Yomtiv is in which halacha? Not saying Tachanun. That's really it. Which all the men in the room are like, that's actually awesome. That's good enough. Yeah, I understand that. But that's really the limit. That's the end of what this day represents as a Yomtiv. In terms of what the day represents in the Torah, it's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, which doesn't mean that it's a Yomtiv. It means that it's a day of demarcation. It's a day which delineates for us when last year ends and this year begins, meaning Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei, as we associate with, that ends the previous year and begins the next year. But this day of Tu B'Shvat, tonight and tomorrow, represents the first day of the year for trees, for the Peros HaIlan, for the fruit trees that exist in the world in general. Specifically in Eretz Yisrael, we have mitzvos daraisa of Trumas and Maisros. We have to separate, we have to tithe the produce, take out a tenth, take out more for Kohen, for Levi, for Aniyim. All of those mitzvahs hatlius ba'aretz. We also have the mitzvah of Arla. Arla exists not only in Eretz Yisrael, but also exists in Chutz La'aretz on a lower level. The mitzvah of Arla is that we have to wait 3 years until we can actually partake of the fruit that grows on any given fruit tree. Vegetables are a different story. Fruit, it takes 3 years until you're allowed to start to even think about eating it. There's more to the story than that. But the day which demarcates, oh, we're in this year, or now we're in the next year, is the day of Tu B'Shvat. So Tu B'Shvat is the birthday of the trees, only in the sense that it lines up for us, okay, now we're moving to the next year in terms of the count for Meiser Sheni, or for Trumas, or for Arla, as you might have it. That's really the significance of the day. The fruit, the platters, the meal, the suda, the wine that we have, that's a manifestation of the fact that it's an important day, but the day itself, halachically speaking, is really related to the Peros HaIlan, the fruits of the trees, the produce which grows in Eretz Yisrael primarily, and then also outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. So let's take a moment just to focus on that idea, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the Peros HaIlan, the trees which grow in Eretz Yisrael, and try to understand what is so special, what's so holy, what's so significant, so important about those trees, about those fruits, what makes us motivated to celebrate their birthday, to note that they are coming up in that year, to eat them tonight and make the brachos on them, to celebrate them, to commemorate them. What makes those fruits, those trees, so important? Is that really something that we're supposed to pay attention to? And if so, what's the message we're supposed to glean from it, and how can we use that to propel us forward? So we'll start with an interesting question. The Tur, in his compendium of halacha, the Tur created the predecessor to the Shulchan Aruch. The Tur wrote his halachos down. So in Aruch Chaim, in Hilchos Brachos, yes, it's an interesting question. He notes that in the bracha achrona, the bracha achas mein shalosh that we say when we finish eating either mezonos or we finish eating one of the shivas haminim of fruit, so we say, and I'm going to mess it up, so someone will correct me. We say uvenei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh meher b'amenu v'halein l'socha v'samchein b'vinana v'nochal meperya. So we say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should what? He should uvnei Yerushalayim, he should build Yerushalayim, he should build the Beis HaMikdash, we should go to Eretz Yisrael, v'ha'aleinu l'socha, we should go to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, v'nochal mi'perya, which means we should eat the fruits, very good, we should eat the fruits, v'nezba mituva, we should be satiated, unuvarecha alea, v'kdusha v'tara, and we should, in our state of holiness and sanctity, we should thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu, say the brachas on those fruits. And the Torah notes, it's such a strange kind of bracha, no? What are we davening for? Uvnei Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, Meher Yamin. We daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should build the Beis HaMikdash, should rebuild Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. That is a normal thing to daven for. Why do we daven for that? We daven because we want karbanos. We daven because we want the sovereignty. We daven because we want to be able to worship Hashem in every corner of the world. We want to be closer to the Shechina. Says the bracha, no, v'nochal meperia. We daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, fix Eretz Yisrael so that we could eat the fruit. The Torah is very bothered by this. In fact, he quotes those who took it out of the bracha, took it out entirely. I think he quotes the father of the Rush, if I'm not mistaken, who said that that word, those words, nochal meperia, doesn't belong in the bracha achrona of the bracha achas mein shalosh. But a lot of the poskim do assume we say that. That's the nusach we're familiar with. That's the text as we say it in terms of the bracha. So why is it, Taka? Why do we daven v'nochal meperia that we should be lucky enough to go to Eretz Yisrael, a rebuilt Yerushalayim, and eat the fruits? So in order to appreciate the answer to the question, let's backtrack and ask a different question entirely. Just yesterday we read Parshas Beshalach. And Parshas Beshalach we read all about the man. So the Torah tells us that when the Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, when they were roaming through the desert after Mitzrayim, so they didn't really have any means of attaining any food. They didn't have a way of having any fruit or bread or anything like that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nasi, made a miracle. And the miracle was that he let the man come. Hineni mamtir lachem lechem in Hashemayim. He poured down bread from Shemayim, from heaven, straight into our backyards, and we were able to partake of the man. However, the Medrash Chazal tell us that that man only lasted a certain amount of time, only about 40 years. Once we got to Eretz Yisrael, we no longer partook of the man. We no longer ate man. What did we eat when we got to Eretz Yisrael? Regular stuff, fruit, grain, bread, things that we planted in the land itself. We ate regular food. The man only lasted so long as we were in the desert. Once we got to Eretz Yisrael, we no longer needed the man. Why not? The man was very geschmack. It tasted like anything you would want to. The pasuk says it was tzapiches bedvash. It tasted like a sweet honey type of taste. But we know from Chazal, we know that it really tastes like whatever a person imagines. So who wouldn't want that? Who would pass up on that? Who would want to switch back to fruits and vegetables, to bread in Eretz Yisrael? Why don't we stick with the man forever? So I saw, the truth is I'm not familiar with his speeches or his writing so much. He's a popular speaker, Rabbi Daniel Glatzin. People here have heard of him? Rabbi Daniel Glatzin is a popular speaker. I don't have so much to do with him, but my mother-in-law, last Hanukkah, she bought for my wife and I, a book of his Divrei Torah. So he wrote Divrei Torah in Hebrew, but they translate also to English. So it's all on Hanukkah, that's why she got it for us. But I saw in the back, there's a small section on Tu B'Shvat. So I was leafing through that today, no pun intended. I was leafing through it, just looking at two or three pages. And I saw in there very interesting Divrei Torah quotes from the Chesed L'Avram. Don't get upset. You could laugh. You could just laugh. Don't be embarrassed. He quotes from the Chesed L'Avram. The Chesed L'Avram was the grandfather of the Chida. Very fascinating. He asks this very question. Why is it that we got rid of the man once we got to Eretz Yisrael? And he says as follows. When the Klai were in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made the nace very different. Things don't usually grow in the desert, correct? Usually things don't grow in the desert. That's why you have AstroTurf back here, right? Okay, things don't really grow in the desert. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made it. It's very nice AstroTurf, by the way. Beautiful. Mamash fooled me. So the Klai were in the desert. They didn't have any fruit or vegetables. They had nothing to eat, correct? So what could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have done? He could have said, no problem. What's he going to do? He'll put some trees into the desert miraculously, and they'll travel with you. They'll go all over with you. Fruits and vegetables, grain, you can make bread. Why didn't Hashem do it that way? Why did he do it in such a funny, peculiar way that he brought down lechem min hashamayim, man from the sky? So the Chesed El Avram said a beautiful vart. He said the desert was a spiritually bereft place. It was a spiritual wasteland. It didn't have any kedusha. It didn't have anything inherently spiritual about it. It was tumah. It was impurity. It wasn't something fine and refined and pure for the Jewish people. At that stage, we needed a lechem min hashamayim. We needed something that didn't have any of that impurity, any of that external physicality. We needed to eat something that was totally ruchni, that was totally spiritual, totally infused with kedusha, in order to continue our journey of growth from slavery to Kabbalah HaTorah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to this, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have planted trees in the Midbar, you know what would have happened? That soil, that dirt that the trees would have grown from, those vegetables, as they came off of the trees, the fruits that you would pluck off, they'd be influenced. They'd be infused with the environment of the soil in which they were planted. That dirt would seep in. The impurity, the lack of spirituality, that would be part of the entity, the fruit that was created by those trees. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't do that. I can't plant trees in the desert in a Midbar. I have to give them lechem min hashamayim. And guess what? We did that for 40 years. But the moment we got into Eretz Yisrael, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now you're in Eretz Yisrael. The land here, this land is holy. This land is Kedusha. It's spiritually infused. It's not a Midbar anymore. And so now what do we eat? We don't need lechem min hashamayim. You can start eating the fruit of the land. You can start eating from the trees, from the bushes, from the vegetables, from the fruits. You can start planting and making grain and having bread because this land is Kadosh. It's holy. And the fruit becomes infused and permeated by that Kedusha. And then we can partake of a fruit that grows in the land. So we needed it the whole time we were in the Midbar, but the second we got to Eretz Yisrael, that was no longer necessary. Says the Bach like this. Why are we asking Kadosh Baruch Hu after we finish eating? Uvenei Yushalayim, Mir Kadosh Meher V'Aminu, please rebuild the Beis HaMikdash for us. V'nochal Miperio, we want to eat its fruit. Eat its fruit? What a physical request for a Beis HaMikdash. What are you talking about? The answer is no. If we have a Beis HaMikdash, if we have a Yerushalayim, Hir HaKodesh, if we have an Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosha, if we have those entities, then what else do we have? We have Peros Kedoshim. We have fruits which are holy, which are infused with the Kedushas HaAretz. Eating those fruits that are dripping, that are juicy, that are overflowing with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is the gift of Eretz Yisrael as well. It's not a bakasha, it's not a request for physicality. We're not asking for a good meal now that we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're asking to be influenced by the Kedusha, the spirit of the land, through its fruits. V'nochal mipirya. That, says the Bach, is why we ask for that in our bracha. The truth is, if you think about it, this the Talmud Rebbe of Yerushalayim, the current Talmud Rebbe of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg, so he writes about this a little bit, which triggered the thoughts. You think about it, people focus on a lot of different actions that a person has to do when they're planting trees. You have to sow the ground, you have to put the seeds into the ground, you have to water the seeds, you have to expose it to sunlight, you have to prune the tree sometimes. There's a lot of actions that take place. But you know what takes place before all of those actions? You know what you have to do before that? If you just drop a seed here on this concrete and expose it to sunlight and water it very vigorously for a couple of days and a couple of months, you're not going to grow a tree. You know what the first step is? You have to find soil. You have to find an environment. You have to find earth, a good piece of earth that is fit, that is ra'i, to grow in it a tree. If we skip that step, if we start with the planting and the watering and the sunlight and the pruning, then we miss the whole point. If we don't find earth, if we don't find soil, if we don't find the context and environment in which fruit can flourish, then the tree will never grow. The same way is true for all of us. We put so much effort into finding great groups of people to hang out with and to spend time with and to grow with. We pick an event. This isn't only wine and the meat and fruit and cookies. And no one's going to touch these pineapples, by the way, unless you cut them up. I'm just saying. But this is not just fruit and the meat and food. It's also a camaraderie. It's a chevra shaft. That's the French way of saying camaraderie. It's a way of coming. It's Yiddish, okay? I don't know. Again, I've never been to a Bnei Akiva event. I almost put shoelaces instead of a tie, but I decided against it. But okay, Chevershaft is different, yeah. So it's a place where we come together, we grow as a group, but we're centralized, we're all coming together around a common goal, a common mission, where we believe in a cause. But unless we first realize that we have to make the soil holy, the earth has to be sanctified, the earth has to be kadosh, everything that sprouts from there can be kadosh only if we till that earth finely, if we make sure that we're planting on an Eretz HaKadosha infused with spirituality, infused with Kedusha, that's why we come together in an event like this, build it around brachos, build it around Divrei Torah. You didn't suffice with just having a meal, but you invited me to say a Dvar Torah. You invited me to say a Dvar Torah. Yeah, it's also so that you could fit more cups of wine in, because I talk for a long time, but it's also because we want to contextualize, we want to show that this earth is holy, this ground upon which our mission is built is a ground of Kedusha, a ground infused with spirituality, with holiness, and with a ground like that, we can grow peros, which are Kedoshas, we can grow holy fruits, which we can then partake of in Nochal Miperya. So it's my bracha to all of us, that here in Chutz La'aretz, and ultimately B'siyat D'Shmaya in Eretz Yisrael as well, we work together as a group and as a community to grow peros, grow fruits that are kadosh, that are holy, that we'll be proud of, that our children can partake of, that our families can enjoy, but that we have to remember not to neglect the soil, not to forget the soil, that whatever mission we're on, whatever event we're attending, whatever organization or institution we're affiliating with, we check first that that soil is not spoiled. We check first that soil is holy, that it's kadosh, that it's healthy, that it's firm, that it's someplace we want to plant our seeds, and p'siyat d'shmaya will all be zocha, v'nochal miperya, v'nisba mituva, in uvnei yushlayim, irkolish, meher v'yameinu, amen.